Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Sarah, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm sure to get cabin fever fairly soon because we were all told to work from home.
Yes, it does seem to be that that is a thing that is now very commonplace in Johannesburg. I've got to say, my office of 100 plus people is down to 20. So, yeah, all of us, if that's indicative of anything. But I must tell you, your topic today tickled me pink. I just saw it and laughed. I thought, I don't know if it's a stage of life thing or what. But, don't know what it says about you.
The less said, the better about me.
But your topic today, I say with a huge smile on my face, is chronic medication during corona.
Well, the sad thing actually is that this is going to be probably one of the most depressing few minutes that you'll have for quite a long time.
Okay.
And it's not because I know something, but I'm just concerned about something. And when you get to my advanced age, you do take chronic medications for things. And what worries me is that the supply of chronic medications into, say, the next 6 months. And you, with chronic medications, you could be looking at immunosuppressants, chemotherapy, drugs, hypertension, ARVs, tuberculosis, depression, all things which have to be in order to be managed, they have to be taken daily or very close to daily. And the problem is, of course, is if we start to run out of those sort of medications, then suddenly the people at risk, potentially, the people who may not be at risk currently may become at risk because they are lacking their usual medication and they are become compromised. But here's the real problem, is that it's really a problem with the generics. And so since most of the tablets we take are generics, it's shall we say, interesting to know that China is the biggest producer of generics. It then sends its medications, its tablets, to India for packaging, and then from India it gets distributed around the globe. So this won't be necessarily a South African problem. It may be a global problem. But where we do, for example, have cause to be really concerned is the fact that we are a small market. And as such, I'll give you an example just because of it illustrates this. For example, lithium, which is for bipolar, which is to handle a bipolar disorder, used to be a very distinct drug that worked very well. And it was pulled off the South African market simply because the market for the manufacturer was way too small. And it was replaced with a drug that does the job, but it's not as good. Now, if that apparently they're starting to see shortages of, and there may be natural shortages, but the problem with any chronic drug is that there is no such thing as a shortage you can withstand. So it may take on a completely different complexion when a whole lot of people who are dependent on things, you know, your drugs, your immunosuppressants, which deal with transplants, etc. So I just wanted to throw that into a very murky and unpleasant mess.
It is sobering, that is for sure. I must say you're not the first person to have raised the issue of chronic medication. In fact, an article that I did read about preparing for all this said perhaps one should go and try and get in advance what one is able to, not just because of availability, but also you don't really want to be standing in queues in a chemist. It's not the line you want to be in particularly.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I hadn't read about it. I chatted to my husband and because I thought about it. And I think that's simply because at the moment, you are not capable of reading everything that is put out on the virus. Your eyes will cross and never uncross. There's just so much stuff out there. So maybe we need to put pressure on our politicians to find out from the Chinese manufacturers, et cetera, and from the Indians, because of course you're looking at a whole potential line of production line just not
supply
not
chain disruption
through.
Total. But you did sort of limit this to generics. You didn't make it sound as if
yes, I think it's part probably because most people use generics now. I mean, generics used to be this exotic thing that no one was sure of. That's now changed. In other words, mass production of drugs that people rely on is going through exactly the chains of production that we are concerned about. The non-generics, the original drugs, are not necessarily less of more of a problem because the same problem because they're not necessarily manufactured in China through and then going through India. But these are the big generic environments, and of course they help to keep the costs of the drugs down. So that could be another issue if one's forced to look back at the original drugs.
Oh my goodness me, I'm just trying to think of a future in the Ilovo Shtetl area with no antidepressants and no stomach medication. Oh my Lord,
I think you better get your sort of very, very capable security outside chemists, you know, we all storm the gates and the doors.
But
and
that is the positive here, is that it is regulated. And it's not as though it's going to be a commodity like milk or toilet paper, which is going to disappear off the shelves.
They're manufactured. They're manufactured in already sterile environment.
Yes.
But I just thought I'd sort of put the issue out there, just in case things start to look, you know, a little worrying.
But the
toilet paper thing is almost hilarious, because I actually went to a shop this morning because I need toilet paper. And I ended up at two places, and the shelves that had anything related to tissue paper of
gone.
Any kind
gone.
Were completely empty.
And it is kind of insanity because this all started, so I'm told, because Australia's toilet paper is sourced from China. Ours is not. So there's
clearly it's a thing, because my husband just played me, you know, one of these infinite things that come on WhatsApp. It's a poem by an Australian about running out of toilet paper. And needless to say, it is crude and funny. And that's
sure.
probably why they've put, you know, committed it all to poetry.
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah, I don't know about you, but just personally, the memes and the I'm sort of done with it. It's overload. It's just too much.
It is overload, although some of them are just, you know, thank God they're there to make you laugh, because
fair
it creates some perspective.
100%. We need a sense of humor. Sara, thank you. Although, like
pleasure.
You said, a little bit bleak, but nevertheless, thank you. And we'll catch up same time next week.
I'll keep away from Corona if I can.
Yeah, we all will. We absolutely all will. Time is 5:26. Wow, we got there quickly. But that means I've still got time to play you one last song. This was the pretty beautiful way to end the show, so I'm hoping. It's a song by Yoram Gaon, that 8-year-old Israeli who's got a voice like golden silk. And it's a song called Kumi Tse'i. And no, there's not much time, but I'd love to know what you think. Yoram Gaon.